I've got a preliminary message before I say what's important. And that is, I read this morning that the Great Commission said to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. On the whole, very good Bible teachers teach everything Jesus commanded, but I include myself as a Bible teacher, we're not very good at teaching people to obey everything he's commanded. So we end up informing people with the truth, but not necessarily teaching them to obey it. But that was a command, to teach them to obey it, not teach them the commands. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 4, even though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. 10,000 people can teach you the information, but you cannot imitate them. We imitate our fathers. He said, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. I am not with you, so you cannot imitate me. So I'm sending you Timothy. He's imitated me. So he will remind you all of my ways in Christ, and my ways agree with what I teach. The Apostle Paul is requiring, as Jesus commanded, obedience. And he knew that obedience happens better with imitation than it does with commands. But he said, if you imitate me, that happens to agree with what I teach. Over in the last portion of 1 Corinthians 10, speaking of a different kind of imitation, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And in Ephesians 5, he says, therefore, imitate God. In that case, it was on forgiveness. He said, I am imitating Jesus. Timothy is imitating me. You may imitate Timothy, but be sure you're really imitating Jesus Christ. So if you see some leader, and people imitate leaders, but the leader does not act like Jesus, then don't imitate him. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So I would like you to observe me very closely and imitate me if I'm imitating Jesus. Do not imitate me if I am not imitating Jesus. Now that's putting me in the spot. I'm asking everybody to watch me. And what I should be teaching, you've heard the people, he doesn't practice what he preaches. Well, let me assure you, I try to teach the truth, and I'm my best listener. I'm preaching to myself. Okay, now the subject. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives his own experience. Chapter 3, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. He says, you want to know who the holy people are? We are the circumcision. He wasn't speaking of himself as a Jew. He defines it. We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in some physical operation. The real righteous people are the people who worship by the Spirit of God. He said, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. I've been around people a long time. And I went to South High School in Omaha, Nebraska. We all thought it was the best high school in Nebraska. It wasn't. We thought it was because we went there. I went to the Naval Academy. And we would play Army and football. And we were the best because we were Navy. people are very proud of their ancestry and their location, their ethnicity. I've never met a Korean who wished he was Japanese. I've never met a Chinese who wished he was a Korean. I've never met anybody of any heritage that wishes he was something else. If they're Celtic, they're proud they're Celtic. If they're French, they're proud they're French. And they had nothing to do with it. Well, he said, I've got the best background of all. When it comes to heritage, I've got it. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has reason to boast, I have more. When it comes to bragging rights, I've got you all beat. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I'm the best tribe of the 12 tribes. Saul, the first king of Israel, was a Benjaminite. Benjamin was the favorite of the father Judah. He said, of Israel, I'm the best tribe, and I came from that tribe. I'm a Hebrew of a Hebrews. I'm more Jewish than any other Jews. In regard to law, in regard to the religious part of it, I was a Pharisee. The best, the most rigorous of all the religious people of Israel. He said, I'm it. Religiously, ethnically, racially. Then he says, as for zeal, boy, was I eager. I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And as for legalistic righteousness, of following the Ten Commandments, he said, I was faultless. When it comes to bragging rights about my religion and my race, I've got you all beat. But then he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All of this I just mentioned that I could brag about. He's going to tell you what he thinks of it shortly. What is more, I can consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. All of that stuff that I was used to be bragging about, I count it loss. Not only do I count it loss, and not only do I count it loss, but for whose sake I have lost it. I consider them rubbish. I was talking with my trainees. I'll be speaking in the Chinese church this afternoon. And we look at this word. No, he said in Chinese, it's not rubbish. It's much grosser than rubbish. This is a word like pig manure. This is something that's awful, excrement. I count all this stuff I just mentioned like something that stinks and is filthy and is vile. All of this goodness in the past. Now, we clean things up here because we don't like to say dirty words in the Bible. So we've taken a dirty word in Hebrew and made it, called it rubbish. It's just not strong enough. And my interpreter said, well, they kept it that way in Chinese. And the Chinese word is something we wouldn't say. This is all of this stuff he was just bragging about. He said, it stinks. It's vile. It's dirty. I remember many years ago, Bessie and I had a young naval officer to our home for dinner. And we lived in Yokohama. His name is Cy Spengler. He is a very religious and moral Episcopalian. And he was talking about this goodness. So I showed him Isaiah 64:6. I'll read it to you. It's another one of these places where we've cleaned it up. Because our Protestant Bibles do not like to say things that are not very nice. Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. The worthy filthy rags is a used menstrual cloth, a dirty Tampax. That's what he's saying there. You get not only physically clean, unclean, you get spiritually unclean. And he said, our righteous acts in God's sight are filthy. And he said, it's like excrement over here. All of my righteous deeds. Well, when I told Cy, showed him that verse, he said, that shouldn't be in the Bible. But it is. God tells us that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Righteous acts do not count for anything in God's eyes. Then he says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, which he did have, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Our righteous acts do not get us to God. Our righteousness comes from God. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, my application here, and he's going to tell us to apply it, is not only were we saved from all this stuff before, the bad stuff and what we thought was good stuff, we were saved from both of it. He said, I want you not to look back on it except as something dirty and vile and stinks. I want you to hate what you came from. And I want you to follow that righteousness that saved us out of this mire, out of this mess. And he said, I count it but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness that comes from God. He said, but I haven't attained it yet. Verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this, I've already been made perfect, but I've been taken out of the crud and given a righteousness, but it's not complete righteousness. Or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Jesus Christ took hold of me in order to make me like him. And I'm going to follow after him until I am like him. I want to take hold of that for which I was taken hold. He took hold of me to make me like himself. And he said, I'm going to keep following until I am like him. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. In other words, when we were converted, when we were saved out of this and saved into this, don't mess with the world anymore. Keep following the Savior. I'm pressing on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You probably heard this, saw this little bumper sticker. I think it's been used as an excuse rather than as a object. God is not finished with me yet. Well, that's true, but people use that as an excuse for not being finished. But the idea is, follow after until we reach that likeness to Jesus. Here's what I said at the beginning. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. We've already attained a lot just by getting saved. Live up to it. Join with others in following my example. And this is my example. Following hard after Jesus. Brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. Not only do you take my example, but you follow anybody else that's following that pattern. In Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10, Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. That's gone. You've taken it off and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. More and more like Jesus. You say, well, I know I'm going to be like him. When he comes again, it says, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Just seeing Jesus as he is will be instantly like him. At the return of Christ, he who has his hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. But he's telling us that we should have this hope, and we'll get more and more purified, and that last day we'll be instantly like him. All of us, at the return of Christ, are going to be instantly like Jesus. But some of us are going to have to go through a bigger, faster metamorphosis than others. All instant. What Paul is saying, I want to have very little change in me when Jesus comes. I want to be like him now. I want to be continually renewed in the image of the creator of my new life. It says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. It's a passage referring to Moses, who came down from the mountain with a veil over his face. He came down so they would not see the fading glory. But when he was with God, he didn't have the veil over his face. And because he didn't have a veil over his face, he was reflecting the glory of God. Verse 18, and we, who with unveiled face, reflect the Lord's glory, just like Moses. Moses had an unveiled face, and he reflected the glory of God. Moses was the mirror. God was the light, and he reflected that light. And he tells us here, and we, who with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. And when we reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness. We're the mirror. When we are seeing the Lord's glory, we reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, when we see him as he is, and an exact reflection, we'll be instantly like him. But he said we're being transformed from glory to glory, ever-increasing glory. In other words, as we reflect the Lord's glory, the mirror gets clearer, which means we can reflect more of the Lord's glory, which makes it clearer, and we just reflect glory and glory and glory, more and more glory. Now, this sounds awful, but the older you get, the more you should look like Jesus. You've had longer to reflect the Lord's glory. Are you looking more and more like Jesus? Are you imitating Paul? Or you still want to mess with the world? You still want to, or you're in the world, but not to be of the world. And he said, I want you to follow my example or anybody else that's following the pattern I gave them. And this is what I'm doing. If that by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, well, that doesn't mean he doubts he's going to have it, because at the end of that chapter he says, I know I'm going to have it. But what he's saying, he said, I want it before the resurrection. I want to look like Jesus now. He said, no, if I meant it and really wanted to look like Jesus, I probably would look like more like Jesus, and I'd lose all my friends. Probably. The more you look like Jesus, the more you make other people feel uncomfortable. The question is, do you want to be more like Jesus? You can't make it yourself, but you can want it. And the more you want it, the more you'll reflect the Lord's glory. From glory to glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And my, I suppose if I've ever had frustration, actually, I don't normally get frustrated. I've been frustrated enough to know what it is. I've had almost unlimited patience with unbelievers. And largely because I don't expect unbelievers to act like Christians. I've had less patience with believers who aren't acting like Christians. Unbelievers, I expect it. They need to be saved. But believers have been pulled out of this garbage, this rubbish, this dung, this mess, and been saved, and they don't want to be more saved. They just want to be just saved. They don't want to be like Jesus. I said earlier that I'm preaching myself so I can imitate myself, or imitate God, but I am telling you to watch me carefully and imitate me, and if I'm not imitatable, tell me. If I am not looking or acting like Jesus, tell me that. Now, if for some reason I don't like you telling me that and I get impatient with you, don't be worried. That probably proves you were right. That. And I want you to also tell people to imitate you. You probably heard the expression, follow me and wear crutches or something. No, we want to. You got to be careful who you follow, who you imitate. But if it's like Jesus, imitate them. One of the reasons I have enjoyed books and pushed books is that the first time I came across Christian books, I was wandering through Kowloon, Hong Kong, and I came across a Christian bookstore. I had no idea there was such a thing as a Christian bookstore, and I'd been a Christian 3 years. I'd been at the Naval Academy, and I'd been at sea. And I came across this Christian bookstore, and I was just amazed. Well, the missionary saw me, saw I was amazed, and he started loading me with books. And I remember I had C.T. Studd and David Brainerd's Diary and InterVarsity Hymnal and all kinds of books. And I went back to the ship that night and read the first chapter of each of these books. And then prayed that I'd have time to finish them. And I didn't know where I was going to get time because I was standing a three-section watch and an eight-hour workday. Three-section watch, I mean, 8 hours there every 24, you were on watch. But that wasn't your job. That was just something in addition to your job. Then you had 8 hours of work. And I slept and ate the other 8 hours. And I prayed that night, I said, God, give me time to read these books. I went to bed about 10:30, and I was wakened by 11:30 by a sailor, a radio man. He said, the captain wants to see you immediately in the wardroom. Well, I knew it wasn't to give me a well done. I knew. So I jumped in my clothes and ran up to the radio shack. I didn't go right to the wardroom. I wanted to find out what was wrong first before I went down and got blasted. Well, I found out what was wrong. Went down, and the captain was in a blue rage. Just almost hysterical. He said, Mr. Wilson, you're in hack. And that's Navy language for go to your room and don't come out of your room until I tell you to come out. You're imprisoned in your room. I certainly told him to go, and he said, aren't you going to explain this? I did, but it didn't make any difference. Well, if that had happened a year before, I would have been devastated. But I could recognize answered prayer when I saw it. And read the books, read all the books, and still did my job, but I had 8 hours of watch a day that I didn't have to do. I was in that room for 3 days. Read the books in 2 days and fasted and prayed the third day. And, oh, my meals were brought to me? Well, anyhow, my point when I started to say this is that I found out there weren't many naval officers I could imitate who were imitating Jesus. Or they weren't on my ship. And I found out I could imitate Christians who were long dead. And I began to imitate David Brainerd and C.T. Studd and Hudson Taylor, not completely, but I mean, these were my models. And this is why we push biographies here. If you can't find anybody here to imitate, then find somebody dead in heaven who you can imitate. The object is to be like Jesus and to follow after. Unless you're just content with being a mediocre Christian. Let's say God. Father, thank you very much for your great goodness to us, for saving us out of this filth, even our goodnesses that we thought were goodnesses were just filth in your eyes. Thank you for the righteousness that comes from you. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.